WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The president is back at the White House after a triumphant stop in the Middle East. The 20 living hostages are back home in Israel for the first time in 2 years. Almost 2,000 Palestinians imprisoned in Israel woke up in Gaza. Correspondent Bradley Blackburn.
President Trump has received a lot of praise for his role in this historic moment, including from former President Biden. But peace in the region is hardly secure. And while there's celebration for a ceasefire, there is also mourning over tremendous loss.
Tearful mourners placed flowers at a growing memorial outside a forensic center in Tel Aviv, where the bodies of four deceased Israeli hostages were brought for identification. The solemn scene, a stark contrast to Monday's celebration.
No word on when the remains of 20 other hostages will be returned. Here in the U.S., a nor'easter bashed the East Coast with torrential rains and strong winds, triggering major flooding. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano from Asbury Park, New Jersey.
This is the same system that slammed into parts of the South over the weekend, leaving towns from South Carolina to Virginia underwater and leaving more homes on North Carolina's Outer Banks teetering on the edge.
The erosion's gotten so close. I mean, these buildings are starting to get unstable. It's scary.
A woman in New York City hit and killed by a solar panel that blew off a carport. Southern Californians are bracing for heavy rain and possible mud flows in the same areas devastated by the Eaton and Palisades fires last winter. Hurricane force winds, ravaging storm surges, blamed for one death in Alaska. Two people are missing. 50 were rescued. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
The remnants of Typhoon Halong walloped the coast of Alaska, at least in the southwestern section of the state. In some places, the storm surge was so large it beat the old record by 2 feet.
Some homes were swept off their foundations, others swept away. The government shutdown is entering its 14th day, and the Senate is expected to take an 8th vote on a bill to end it. Meantime, many airports are begging off a spot from the Homeland Security Secretary.
The Port of Seattle says they won't play the video message delivered by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem because it's too political.
Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government, and because of this, many of our operations are impacted.
Instead, the port is urging a bipartisan effort to end the government shutdown. They're also working to find ways to support federal employees like TSA agents working without pay. Luke Ducey for CBS News, Seattle.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is warning the shutdown could be one of the longest ever. Dow futures down to 12. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the NLCS coming up tonight here at American Family Field. The Dodgers winning a close one last night, 2-1. Milwaukee finally scoring in the bottom of the ninth off a Jackson Chourio sacrifice fly. The Brewers loading the bases with two outs, but Bryce Tarang struck out swinging at a high fastball. Christian Yelich after the game.
You know, once we kind of got some traffic out there and put some good at-bats together late and we gave ourselves a chance, you know, we were one swing away from kind of stealing that thing and, you know, made it interesting at the end. Obviously, wish we could have pulled it out, but, you know, we knew the series was going to be a battle. It was going to be a lot of close games. You know, this one didn't go our way, but we still got a long way to go.
NFL, the Packers begin for their trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Sunday, Lucas Van Ness was carted off the field with a foot injury after sacking Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco and had an MRI.
We definitely avoided something serious, but how long he'll be out remains to be seen.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of rain this afternoon, a high near 55. Showers likely tonight, lows around 46. Slight chance of rain Wednesday with a high near 56. Some showers and thunderstorms are possible Wednesday night, a low around 50. And more showers and storms on Thursday.
It's 48 at our studios. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll talk a little bit about fighting authoritarianism and why Ken Burns, the great historian, has it right. And also, the Brew Crew and the NLCS. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen, as we kick off hour number two here on a gorgeous Monday night. Honest to God, can you believe another beautiful day? It's basically mid-October. And I had a t-shirt and shorts on. I was walking today.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Well, that's it. No shoes.
I've never seen you in shorts.
It is no bra day, so I was not wearing a sports bra.
Okay.
Just in honor of the day. No, it was a beautiful day. We had a great first hour, folks. If you're just joining us, our question of the night is in honor of Diane Keaton, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 79. What is your favorite Diane Keaton movie? I said Annie Hall. Conrad said Cheaper by the Dozen. No, Father of the Bride.
I mean, Steve Martin's in that, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Steve Martin. I'm thinking Steve.
And Godfather.
And The Godfather, yeah. But a real talent, a Hollywood icon, gone at 79. And so let us know what your favorite Diane Keaton movie is. Coming up at 7:20, comedian, very funny comedian, a host of the show Laugh Tracks, and also one of the co-hosts of the WGN Morning Show in Chicago, Mike Toomey, will be here. And I don't know, Mike does a Christmas show every year in Wisconsin. I don't know if he's doing it this year, but we'll ask him when he's here, because it's a great show down in the Kenosha Racine area that he's done. Historically, anyway, for many, many years. We'll talk to Mike about that. If you missed our interview with Jamie McShane, you can go to the podcast at civicmedia.us/nightlightwithpete Schwabba. Jamie is one of the stars of the show Task on HBO and plays the main bad guy and is really good. Check out the show. It's a great show. And it was fun. It was fun to talk to Jamie and catch up. We also talked about the show Friendship, which... it's the movie, actually, not the show. But I just thought it was okay. Conrad liked it more than I did. I think most people did. And I'll be eager to talk to you. Tomorrow night, Ben Reiser is on the show. And Ben is a pretty straightforward guy. So I know he's going to tell me what he thought about Friendship, too. It's not like I didn't like it. I just thought it would be funnier. I don't know. So we're going to read some of your texts now, folks, before we bring Mike onto the show. Anna in Madison says, "Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Diane Keaton movie is Looking for Mr. Goodbar." Yeah, I mentioned that earlier, Anna, with Richard Gere. That was a different role for her as well. She played a school teacher who practiced risky behavior. That's right out of off of IMDb. And I saw the movie probably 30 years ago. I remembered it was a little risque. And, you know, Diane Keaton, Richard Gere, two great leads, a great movie, and a very interesting watch. I don't remember how I felt about it. I mean, I remember liking it, but I probably should give it another watch. Brian from Green Bay in the 920 says, "The mom from Family Ties died." It's not Diane Keaton. That's Meredith Baxter Burney, Brian. As far as I know, she's still alive. Edward from the 414 says, "Sleeper with Woody Allen." Yeah, they did like 8 movies together. Everyone in the future is sterile except those of Italian descent. and people use the orgasmatron instead of having sex. That one I definitely have to give a rewatch because I remember there was a kid in the neighborhood who had HBO like in 1980. And I remember watching that movie going, man, I don't know what's going on here, but I probably enjoy it more as an adult. Thank you, Edward. Barb from Waukesha says, Baby Boom. She made that movie. Agreed, Barb. I also loved Father of the Bride, the Father of the Bride movies. I was really sad about her passing. She's a class act. Yeah, that's great text, Barb. You really don't ever hear anything bad. Like, she was never in the tabloids for crazy stuff. She just seemed like a true professional and a pretty decent person, too. Susan from McFarland in the 608 says, I just watched The Family Stone, but one of my favorites is Something's Gotta Give, right, with Jack Nicholson. She was an amazing actress and will be missed. Totally agree, Susan. Thank you. Jim from Appleton says, Diane Keaton movie, not the best, but still good. The First Wives Club. Never saw it, Jim. Heard it was really good. Great text. Thank you, buddy. I thought Jim would be watching the Brewers game. Although that text came like 40 minutes ago. He's probably texting us while he watched the Brewers stretch out or something.
Yes.
Monica from Mount Horeb in the 608 says, I know you said favorite, but my least favorite stands out more. Summer camp. Words cannot describe how truly awful it was. All right, Monica. I mean, look, even Diane Keaton's not above the occasional clunker. Bridget from the 818 says, Baby Boom. I could watch it every week. It has all comedy, drama, romance, heart, beautiful scenery, great script, and acting. Just like that text. Thank you, Bridget. Excellent. So share your thoughts on Diane Keaton with us, folks. Your favorite work of hers. I'll read it on the radio. PJ on the stream says, I said in the beginning when they hired... Oh, this is about our Badger Talk con. Did you see this on the stream?
Yeah, I did.
PJ says, I said in the beginning when they hired Fickle that he was a bad choice and no one listened to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have listened to that.
I liked the hire. When they hired him, I thought they made a good, it's turning out not to be so, but Dave on the stream says he can't get the players that he had at Cincinnati academic standards. Okay. Yeah, that could have something to do with it. But with the NIL, I thought they like adjusted all that. No?
No. It's kind of like, NCAA right now is just like kind of whoever has the most money.
It's like the minor league. It's like pro, but.
Yeah, there's no salary cap.
I wish they would regulate that somehow, like make it everybody gets paid. I'm fine with that. They bring in a lot of money, but do it in a more even way. So all the schools in Division One that want to compete, maybe a profit sharing thing like the NFL, just to make, because right now it's not fun. It's like, you know, there's the same old teams that are at the top, and the Badgers have regressed. Like, they were always top 20. They'd get a good bowl game, make a good showing. You were proud of the program. But now you either got to be going for the national championship or just accept that you're not on that level.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's not fun.
I mean, it is nice seeing Indiana in the race, you know?
I cheer for them. Yeah. Sure. I like Indiana.
I'll cheer for them over any other teams, especially Ohio State.
I'm with you on Ohio State, but whenever Ohio State plays the SEC, I always go for Ohio State. Or when they used to play the Pac-12 or Notre Dame, I was a Big Ten guy, even if it's Ohio State or Michigan.
I don't know how you feel, but I really miss the old Big Ten.
When it was just 10?
when it was people not on the West Coast. I just don't get that.
It doesn't make sense. It's like 20 teams right now, right? Mm-hmm. 25 teams or something like that.
So many.
All right, we've got Mike Toomey coming up at 7:20. Excited to talk to Mike. And in honor of Mike, we're going to get a couple comedy clips here. I've been sitting on this clip for a couple weeks now, and what better time to play it when we're about to talk about stand-up comedy in just a few minutes. This is Rodney Dangerfield, part of his set on The Tonight Show.
Now, I'll tell you, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape, you know? Well, last week I told my wife, you need a home improvement loan. She gave me $1,000 to move out. Now, I'll tell you, my wife, there's always something, you know? Well, the other day I called her up. I said to her, honey, I've been thinking about the last time we had sex. I'm getting excited. She said, who is this? I'll tell you, my wife, she never went for me. Well, the first time I called her up, she told me, come on over, there's nobody home. I went over, there was nobody home. My wife, she drives me nuts. Well, she was afraid of the dark. She saw me naked. Now she's afraid of the light. I'll tell you, actually, I shouldn't tell jokes about my wife. I mean, she's attached to a machine that keeps her alive, the refrigerator. And I tell you, my wife, she can't cook either. My house, we pray after we eat. I bought a pressure cooker. Now I eat off the ceiling. What a lousy cook. I don't think meatloaf should glow in the dark. I mean, she can't cook at all. She made chocolate mousse and antler got stuck in my throat. I'll tell you my trouble. I got the wrong doctor. You know my doctor, Dr. Vinnie Boombastro, my doctor. And I saw him last week. I told him, Doc, every day I wake up, I look in the mirror, I want to throw up. What's wrong with me? He said, I don't know, but your eyesight is perfect. Are you kidding? I know I'm ugly. I asked a bartender to make me a zombie. Told me God beat him to it.
Rodney Dangerfield. I wonder if he'll be on Mike's top five. When Mike is here, we're going to talk about our top five comics. So that'll be fun. Are you putting a list together, Con?
I got one that I like. One that I saw live, and I just think he's hilarious.
Okay.
I've said him on the show before.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Noel Miller.
As long as you don't say Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I'm happy.
Kevin Hart.
And here's another clip in honor of Mike's, some stand-up talk. This is Martin Short. You know, I say I get tired of the Martin Short, Steve Martin thing because they're everywhere. And when they do these commercials, they're so canned and they're so... Yes. Lame. And there's two of the funniest guys in the history of show business. But the act seems to be getting a little tired. But this was great. This was Martin Short talking about Steve Martin.
No, working with Steve is very much like the film Deliverance. It's all fun and games until the banjos come up.
Steve I think it's safe to say he's a genius. Not particularly true, but safe. It's safe.
Thank you. It's great. You know, Steve is endlessly creative. He's always writing. He never gets any writer's block as much as we pray for it. He doesn't. I say at one point, he is so pale, he looks like someone put a toupee on a urinal. You know?
And I'll say to Steve, you look fantastic. And I guess the secret is that you've looked 70 since you were 30. And yet people will come up to him and say, oh, big fan, Angela Lansbury.
Brilliant actor. There's no greater actor. Whenever I see Steve in a film, I always think, boy, is Steve acting. This is what I learned from Steve, that a urinal doesn't just have to be used for number one.
What?
Maybe. No, I mean, touring with Steve is just, well, Steve doesn't, at his age, doesn't so much tour as he wanders off, but still. No, but he is really amazing. You know, he's such a unique man. You know, he butt dialed me the other day, which is kind of remarkable because he still has a rotary phone. So, you know, it's unbelievable feeling to be a grandfather, you know.
What is it like?
Well, you know, you're suddenly, once again, you're changing diapers, you're helping with feeding. It's like being on the road with Steve Martin.
Yeah. Marty, what is it like traveling with Steve? Is he always creative? Is he always coming up with great stuff?
No. I listen to Steve on the banjo and I just close my eyes and I pretend I'm on hold with Cracker Barrel. No, listen, when he pulls out his banjo, people in China beg for lockdowns.
That's
interesting.
Oh, that's great. Now, that's funny. I like those.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good stuff. Folks, if you want to be more even, if you want to follow us on Facebook, I post... Typically every day, almost every day, I post a picture through the window. We call it Nightlight Window Fun or Nightlight Window Love. Tonight's participant is civic media maniac Noonday Niece, a guy with maybe the coolest name I've ever heard. And as it turns out, once, you know, I don't know if I told you this, Con, I said, where did you get such a cool nickname? He goes, that's my name. That's his actual name.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Like as much as Conrad is your name, if that is your real name.
Yes, Conrad's not really a nickname.
It doesn't sound like a nickname. But Noonday Niece is great. So he is our featured Nightlight Window Fun guy tonight. So go to Facebook, check out Noonday's picture. He's holding a couple drills. It's quite funny. And give us a like or a follow while you're there. Jody Hinman on social media says Baby Boom is her favorite Diane Keaton movie. I think Baby Boom's the winner tonight. Brenda Socia says, Something's Gotta Give and Family Stone are my favorites, but I really liked anything she was in, and I liked how in many of her films, her personal style of dress carried right into the movie. That is a great great comment and very true. Thank you, Brenda. And Janet on social media says, Annie Hall. I still think Baby Boom's the winner so far. All right, when we come back, folks, my pal and TV host Mike Toomey will be here. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's preclearance oversight of discriminatory states, and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana v. Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. It's a gorgeous Monday night. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. It's a gorgeous night, Con.
Yeah, I enjoyed my day. I was wearing, you know, a shirt in, as you see me,
shorts
over here, but it was, Shorts and t-shirt, and I was just like, I don't want this to be over yet.
Yeah.
Because I know it's coming soon where I have to wear pants, and I don't like that.
You got to break out the longs.
The long johns.
Are you going to golf tomorrow?
Maybe. Maybe if okay. I wake up a little earlier.
It's supposed to be nice, right?
I hope. Okay. It was a little rainy this morning, so I didn't go.
Yeah, it was rainy this morning.
I thought it would be a little wet out there.
And it turned into another absolutely gorgeous day. So here's what we'll do. While we're waiting for Mike, maybe we should... I thought this was interesting, folks. I think we're getting Mike here, so we won't do that. But we will go to the... I want to talk about Paul Vandenplas from Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
He does great Wisconsin stuff. He travels around, and he posts great stuff about our state. He goes to restaurants, and Paul is kind of a foodie. And he's making a list of the best 100 hamburger. That's ambitious. 100 hamburgers. Are there even 100 hamburger places in Wisconsin?
You know what we should have him do? We should have
dance?
Him, you know, go to your house. You cook him a burger.
Yeah, sure.
Come to the bachelor pad. of Conrad's and have a burger over there.
You gonna make him one on the Foreman?
In the air fryer?
He and his wife, Sarah, were in Marinette. They went to Mickey Lou's, and I met them there to say hello, and I should have had them. Next time they're around, I would love to have them over. He's a great guy, and his wife was lovely, and I look forward to his list. That is a lot, though, 100. I don't even know if we'd have time to go through 100 burger places.
Yeah, that's a
like,
lot.
You've got your main cities in Wisconsin. There's probably 10, you know, of the biggest cities. Let's say three of them have great burger joints, or all of them have three great burger joints. That's 30. You got to come up with 70 other burger joints. That's really ambitious. I expect nothing less of Paul. All right. So it is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome another good friend of mine to tonight's show. He is the host of Laugh Tracks on WGN and also one of the hosts of the morning show on WGN and a very funny stand-up comic. And he joins me now over the stream, Mr. Mike Toomey. Hey, buddy.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got dressed up for you.
What is that? It looks like one of those. Is that like
it's
that?
A shirt.
Oh,
it's a shirt.
It's a what shirt. I like to call a shirt, Pete.
Yes. And I'm.
You look good in the darker colors. I like that. Yeah. Mike.
You know what, though? It's like a little bit on the tight side, so it makes my head look even bigger.
No, come on. Yeah. It is National No Bra Day, so don't feel like
I'm
you
not
have...
wearing. I'm not doing okay, one. I'm not wearing
good.
One.
You don't have to wear any kind of undergarments on my show. I have no requirements whatsoever. I just don't want to know about it. Hey, it's good to see you. Do you have good a favorite Diane Keaton movie, Mike?
You know what? I remember way back we went to see because I haven't seen all of, like, we saw the one, the Second Wife's Club or First Wife's Club.
Yeah.
Remember that? That's like a really good date night movie.
Okay.
Because it's got, it had Bette Midler and it had Goldie Hawn.
Sure.
And I liked all three of those. I thought that was a really good, fun movie.
I saw it years ago. Here's the last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, I was with my Aunt Tricia, who's really more like my cousin. She's like 5 years older than me. And we were on the northwest side of Chicago, and I went in to see Goldie Hawn. I don't even remember what it was, but the guy, the male lead, was giving her a foot massage. Yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up just that I commented on it.
Yeah, so maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot. Or
please.
Something.
Yeah. I mean, when you go in tight, put a better foot up there. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care. Just something had to change there.
That would have been funny if they went in and it was like the foot of like Hoss from Bonanza. You know, just like this big mangled, hairy knuckled.
Big hairy toe knuckles.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been better.
They cut back to Goldie and she's just like, oh, this feels great.
It's similar to like the man hands on Seinfeld. Right. So listen, let's talk about this. You had me on your show Laugh Tracks last week. It was so much fun. And what a great show. Love the format. When is that coming out and where can people find it? I said it's a WGN show. Was that accurate? Okay.
It definitely is. It's not on WGN TV. It's on an app called WGN Plus. So if you do like an app search, WGN Plus, that's where you can find it. And the show comes on every Saturday at 10 a.m. Saturday mornings at 10.
It's a great show. You've had, you know, all your friends from comedy, Jeff Garland, and you had Frank Caliendo on, and you just have really funny guests. And when you sent me the sample of it, so I got a sense of the show, you sent the Frank Caliendo episode. I cannot believe, and I think I told you this, I've never thought of John C. Reilly as someone who could be imitated, but Frank Caliendo sounded like John C. Reilly if I closed my eyes. It was insane.
And same thing, Paul Giamatti. He does a Paul Giamatti impression. I wouldn't even know how to begin to do something like that.
Oh, that was fun. So check out Laugh Tracks. And how do they find it again, Mike?
WGN Plus is it's a TV app. So you'd have to have like Roku, Fire TV, Amazon, or a Samsung Smart TV. It's not as easy as it should be right now, but they're constantly trying to make it more accessible.
I've never heard of any of those, but it's worth it if you can find the show. It's very
Zenith.
I have an RCA.
If you have a If you have, okay, it works on all Zenith television.
How convenient. All right, Mike is here. We're going to do the news, and when we come back, we're going to break down. Folks, be part of this. Share, if you would, on the app or the stream or the text line, whatever. Give us your top comedians, because Mike has been a stand-up comic for decades, and he's great. I used to do stand-up comedy. We're going to break down our top five stand-up comics of all time. That's coming up after the news. Maybe a little soft shoe number. We'll see what happens. Right, Mike? You game?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, we're coming back. It's Beach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is back at the White House after a victorious trip to the Middle East to sign a peace agreement for Gaza, witness the return of 20 living hostages, and release of almost 2,000 Palestinian prisoners. About the second phase of peace talks, he spoke on Air Force One.
A lot of people like the one-state solution. Some people like the two-state solutions. We'll have to see. I haven't commented on that.
At least one death blamed on a nor'easter that blasted states from South Carolina on up the east coast of Massachusetts. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
We've still got gusty winds that actually may last the next several days, and we could see at least moderate flooding for the next several high tide cycles. But in terms of the worst impacts, we are certainly past those.
Day 14 of the government shutdown, and Ivy Parksdale at a real estate agency in Kentucky says federal home loans are harder to come by.
Just because they don't have the people, you know, they've gotten backed up, taking longer to process loans and things like that.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. Game 2 of the NLCS coming up tonight here at American Family Field. The Dodgers winning a close one last night, 2-1. Milwaukee finally scoring in the bottom of the ninth off a Jackson Chourio sacrifice fly. The Brewers loading the bases with two outs, but Bryce Tarang struck out swinging at a high fastball. Christian Yelich after the game.
You know, once we kind of got some traffic out there and put some good at-bats together late, and we gave ourselves a chance, you know, we were one swing away from kind of stealing that thing and, you know, made it interesting at the end. Obviously, wish we could have pulled it out, but, you know, we knew the series was going to be a battle. It's going to be a lot of close games. You know, this one didn't go our way, but we still got a long way to go.
NFL, the Packers begin for their trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Sunday, Lucas Van Ness was carted off the field with a foot injury after sacking Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco and had an MRI.
We definitely avoided something serious, but how long he'll be out remains to be seen.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. As expected, the new Tron film, Tron Eris, opened at number one at the box office this past weekend. Unexpected, however, was the $33.5 million haul. It was a bit low, as Disney was hoping for between $40 and $50 million. The film pulled in another $27 million overseas, topping out at $60 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but the budget was $180 million, which will be a tough recoup. Adding to a not-so-great weekend numbers-wise were two other new films. In second place was the action comedy Roofman, which pulled in just $8 million, despite good reviews. The other newcomer was Jennifer Lopez's musical version of Kiss of the Spider Woman, which opened at number 13 with less than 1 million, but on many fewer screens. But it was still considered a disappointment. Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another still shows legs and pulled in almost 7 million in its third week to finish in third place. Gabby's Dollhouse finished in fourth place, and faith-based film Soul on Fire finished in fifth. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a chance of rain this afternoon, a high near 55. Showers likely tonight, lows around 46. Slight chance of rain Wednesday with a high near 56. Some showers and thunderstorms are possible Wednesday night, a low around 50. And more showers and storms on Thursday.
It's 48 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get a live update from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson on any signs of progress in ending the federal government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. Barreling through a Monday night here, Terry from Cross Plains in the 608 says, George Carlin has to be among the top five comedians ever. Great text, Terry. I wouldn't disagree with you. And let's just see who Mike has on his list and I have on my list. Con, did you put a little list together? You're just going to go with your overall number one?
I got some.
Mike, I have to tell you, before we start this, this cracked me up. Conrad came into the studio before and he said, is Mike Toomey the guy that said I was trying to kill him? And I said, what? No, he confused you with Bill Leff. It's Conrad's first night producing the show. Bill said, Pete, I don't want to tell you this, but when I first came on, Conrad off the air said, I'm going to come to your house after this and kill you. I mean, obviously he knew you were kidding, but it was
that
just
sounds
little...
like Bill.
Yeah, it sounds like Bill, exactly. All right, so you've got a ton of experience in stand-up comedy. I had some. We worked together quite a bit on the road. Great times. It's so funny, Mike. Like, you've been doing this so long. I meet other guys in stand-up, and they're like, oh, yeah, after you left for L.A., Mike was the guy. Mike brought me on the road with him, and then, like,
yeah,
like,
you were the guy.
All these people you mentored, you know, it was so much fun. So it's great. So, all right, let's do this. Let's start backwards from five.
Okay.
And let's have you go first.
And I don't even know if this means he's my fifth favorite, but let's start with this guy. His name is Mike McDonald, and he was out of Canada, and he's passed away, but he was the guy that gave me my first real lesson in you're not as good as you think you are. I had been doing comedy about, I don't know, 5 years.
Okay.
5 or 6, whatever. And I went to work the Funny Firm, which was a brand new club. And they said, you're working with Mike McDonald. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, he's from Canada, whatever. And I was, you know, establishing myself and comedy was hot and I was doing well. And then he went up and I went, okay, I'm not that good.
Wow. Yeah. He was
so far to go.
He was a great stand-up. I never met him when I did stand-up, but our mutual friend, Len Ostrovich, yes, brought him to a screening of The Godfather of Green Bay in Burbank. And Len's son at the time, Miles, who has passed away, was a big fan of the film. And Mike McDonald came up to me and goes, hey, great film. And I'm like, I almost passed out. I'm like, oh, yeah. you're Mike McDonald. Like, I couldn't even know he was there. But a very funny comic, and used to do the bank, like when you walk all the ropes of the bank, like imitate.
And make the exasperated face like, oh. But what he did that was so fantastic to me is he could make one bit go forever.
Yeah.
And at the time, Fatal Attraction was just out of movie theaters. He talked about Fatal Attraction for almost as long as the movie itself. Okay. And it was funny. Like, nobody was going, when is this guy going to stop talking about Fatal Attraction? We're like, it was hilarious, you know? Like at the end when Glenn Close jumps out of the, what is she, Jason now? Like she wouldn't die. And I asked him about that, and he said, your bits are never finished. He says, it's like watering your plants. You just keep them growing. If there's more you can say about it, say more about it.
That's a great, wow, that's fantastic. I went to Richard Jenny. He had a memorial service at the Laugh Factory, and our mutual friend Greg Leanna and I went to that. And Rich Scheidner summed up Jenny kind of similar to what you're saying about Mike McDonald. He said, when Rich was done with a premise, there was nothing left but bone. It was like he was just eating this joke and creating. It was just such a great analogy, and I totally agree. Mike McDonald is like that too. All right, and
you could easily make room for Jenny on that list too.
He's, you know, I've got five, and then I've got an honorable mention. So I'm going to start with my five, and I thought we should do this like not with our peers from Chicago because
That's what I had in mind when
okay.
you brought it up.
All right, perfect. Yeah. Because I know I'd be on your list, Mike.
Of course you would. Of course. I'm getting to you.
No. Number five for me, I have a tie. That's kind of a cheat. And you might laugh at this. Jay Leno and Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
Two people who to me...
Don't disagree with either of them.
Okay, good. Because I think people only know her as the crazy talk show host. She was an outstanding stand-up comic, as was Jay Leno. I didn't love him as a host or her. But they were both really excellent comedians.
Well, Ellen was clearly, clearly influenced by Bob Newhart. You know, her tempo and her laid back kind of style. She even did a couple phone call bits that Newhart, you know, immortalized. But yeah, very, very clearly influenced by him. And of course, he's one of the best ever.
Absolutely.
And Leno could, as another guy, who could be on stage for an hour and a half and you'd never look at your watch. You'd just be like, wow, that went fast. Yeah, just full of great material.
Now, when he used to go on Letterman, it was like must-see TV. You had to see him, and he was so great. Con, do you have five, or do you want to just join us when you have, like, you said you had one comic was your favorite, and that's fine.
Well, no, I put him at five because he's not known, really.
Okay.
He's, like, my favorite that is kind of... underground, I don't know. He's not well known, but he is known.
Okay.
From YouTube.
That works.
But he has a stand up. And I've gone to his shows three times, and every time it's fresh. He never uses the same joke ever.
And he's filthy.
It is pretty filthy.
What's his name?
Noel Miller.
You know him, Mike?
I do not.
Noel Miller.
Where did you see him perform?
Improv in Milwaukee. I saw him.
Okay.
This place in Madison. I can't remember what it's called. It's a kind of a theater type place.
Yeah.
Can't remember what it was called.
Every time you say
it's really, it's funny because as long as we've been in this business, there's guys that keep coming and you don't know their names. My kids go to see comedy shows at like Chicago Theater and big venues like that. I don't know who those guys are. You know, I'm so far removed from it.
All right. I'll go next. Number four for me. This one might surprise you. An underdog, but a guy I watched a lot as a kid, like on shows like Evening at the Improv, Franklin Ajayi.
Oh my gosh. I forgot all about him. He's fantastic. Just a thinking man's gray matter comedian and so funny.
He used to do a joke about why do white guys box? And your initial reaction is like, well, they're not good boxers. But no, his punchline was like, he'd start bobbing and weaving and throwing punches. And he's like, dang, man, I got to get out these suburbs. But he always had such great jokes and he was so laid back. Loved him.
He really did. He did one that was hilarious that, like, he lived by himself. He was a guy who lived by himself. So he did a lot of jokes, typical. He doesn't really take care of the place. And he had a date come over, and she ran her finger across, like, one of the coffee tables or whatever, and goes, look at this. Like, she's got dust. And then he looks down, and he goes, now how am I going to fill that in?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, he was great.
All right, you're number four, Mike.
What's the deal with Jerry Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
You can't go wrong there.
You can't go wrong. And I'm like, he's not in my top five. I don't know how, because he was probably my favorite comedian in the 80s. But
yeah,
I don't know. I guess I'm going overall here. Con, you got a number four?
Yeah, I'd say Kevin James.
Kevin James? Okay.
Yeah.
You ever work with him, Mike?
I have not. Yeah. I heard his stand-up's really good, though. I know.
Yeah. Very likable.
He's
still out there.
Yeah. He has a new special on Prime that was hilarious.
Okay. All right, Kevin James, number four for Conrad. My guest is Mike Toomey. His show is called Laugh Tracks, folks. Check it out on WGN Plus. Give it a Google and check. There's so many great episodes. Jeff Garland, Frank Caliendo. I was on the episode last week that will be coming out soon, Mike? Next day or two?
It ran last Saturday.
Oh, okay. Can I share now?
You can share now, okay. Yes. You can look forward to reruns as well.
All right, fantastic. Number three, Con, you want to go first? Go ahead.
Sure, yeah. My third one, I think, just from me growing up, and I watched this guy all the time growing up, was Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham, okay. And Peanut?
Yeah.
Or not Peanut?
The jalapeno on a stick is okay. My favorite.
What about the old guy?
It's Walter.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Mike, you're up.
Number three is along the same lines as your Franklin Ajayi choice. This is a guy, when I was a kid, like grade school, wanted to be a comedian. And whenever I saw that this guy was going to be on something, whether it was like Don Kirshner's rock concert or the Midnight Special or the Tonight Show, whatever, it was David Brenner.
David Brenner is great.
Yeah, he did the best observational stuff. And then he transitioned into current events and even politics and things like that. But he was, even at an advanced age, he never said how old he was, but it was determined later that he was much older than people believed. Always very relevant, very current, and the observational stuff too.
He did a great joke about getting on a bus and, I don't know, the jokes they used to play. I think he grew up in Philadelphia. And he said one of my friends, his head was constantly tilted to the right. And his nickname was 10 after 6. He just had so many jokes like that. And I got to meet him before I was even ready to work the road. I started during the boom. I got work before I was ready. But I went down to West Palm Beach, Florida, and I opened for him. And I went back to the condo between shows, and I came back, and Mr. Brenner would like to see you in his dressing room. I'm like, oh no, what did I do? You know, he just wanted to talk. He asked me what I wanted to do. He was just eating dinner, and he was like the nicest guy.
That's so great.
I loved it, and I treasure that experience. That's a great one, one I totally forgot about.
How long before he passed was that?
Oh, that was 92 maybe. When did he die? Like 2010?
Yeah, I think so. But what had happened with him was, as time went on, his openers were doing less and less time in front of him because he didn't want to burn any topics. And it seriously got to the point where I had worked with him. They said, just go up and say, ladies and gentlemen, David Brenner.
Here's your $1,000.
Can I still put this on my resume that I opened for him?
So, that's really interesting. Yeah, I only did like 15 or 20 minutes, but he probably knew I was just starting out too.
But he'd do the whole 90 minutes himself.
Yeah, that's a great one. Con, did you go number three?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay. Jeff Dunham. My number three, Don Rickles.
Yeah.
So I don't think I have to say anything more. Don Rickles.
Vintage.
Vintage. Number two, I will go. George Carlin. Not a huge surprise there.
He's my number one.
Okay.
I don't want to cheat, but I'll give you number two for me in this. I don't know if this even qualifies as a stand-up necessarily, but when I was a kid, my parents had this comedy record of a guy named Stan Freberg. And he did funny songs, he did funny sketches, and did a lot of character voices. And I fell in love with that. And I swear to this day, it's because of that record that I got into comedy. Even as a five-year-old kid, I would memorize the sketches on there and perform them for people as a little kid.
You know, that's so great. And my guy like that at a young age was Bill Cosby. He would have been in my top three, but you can't say that anymore. Like, he's such a creep. I mean, a felon, not even a creep. He's like.
Wait, what's this now?
Con, you got a number two?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, great choice.
Good choice.
Love him. I told, I did Mike Lucas's podcast last week too. And I told the story of when I opened for Chris Rock, and that's as profane as I've ever been telling the story of when I opened for Chris Rock, because it was because of the heckle I received from a 14-year-old kid. And it was brutal. I can't even say it. This is we're on the radio. Like, I can't, but I could say it on Mike's podcast.
14-year-old kid
with his parents. I'm like, I would have thought I was going to hell for what this kid said to me. But it was a learning experience. Okay, Mike Toomey is here, folks. You have a couple minutes to get in on our Diane Keaton question of the night. What's your favorite Diane Keaton movie? We're coming right back to wrap things up and give you our number one favorite stand-up comics of all time. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I really want to know you. I really want to go with you.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down till we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The memories you gave me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
The memories you gave me.
Add one.
Welcome back.
Stolen night of
bliss. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight in the home stretch here, folks. Terry from Cross Plains in the 608 says, oh my God. Actually, it's OMG. I started to text David Brenner, but changed to Carlin. I saw him at Summerfest and he was hysterical. Mike, he was hysterical. George Carlin in an outdoor venue.
You got him on a night when he was hysterical. he was hilarious.
Outstanding. Love George Carlin. All right, we are down to our final favorite comedians. Con, let's have you go first. Favorite all-time stand-up comic.
Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh,
Fluffy.
God, I just got a pain in my stomach.
When you don't like him?
Same pain.
Okay, so, all right, here's why I don't like him. I had to follow him. I had just moved to LA. It was like the year was like 1998, year of our Lord. And Mary came with me. It was a show on a yacht. And I was closing. My buddy at Comedy Central booked it. And Gabriel Iglesias was opening. Nobody knew who he was yet. He's this high energy. he came out and people couldn't even catch their breath for 20 minutes. And I'm just like going, do I just jump in the ocean now and end it? Or do I actually go up? And man, I chewed it. It was horrible. It was a bad set. It was like, I got like Snickers and a couple, but he crushed.
Yeah. You have personal reasons. So it's not that horrible. But you're saying it. You're not saying you think he's terrible. You're saying
I don't even know, but I don't know. I'm not saying he's terrible. He's probably hysterically funny, but I don't. When he comes on, it's such a bad memory. I just scroll past. Yeah, all right, yeah, Mike. Number one.
I believe I knew that story. The aforementioned Carlin, because again, the record, the class clown record, my brother had that I used to have to put the headphones on and hide in my room to make sure nobody heard me listening to it because it contained the seven words you can't use on television. But what I fell in love with about him was his mastery of the language. Like every word counted, you know what I mean?
Right.
And through the years, he just kept going. Like we said about Brenner before, Carlin changed with the times, you know, he was an observational guy and then he became a political, you know, social commentator more than anything else and did it so well. Pushing 80, you know?
Yeah, you're right. And I always say, like, I think it's hard for stand-ups to be funny after, like, 50 or 60, but some of them are, and they remain relevant somehow, and he was totally that guy. And even though I wouldn't say he was as funny as when he was in his 30s and 40s at his peak, but he was still one of the best comics, if not the best, even when he was older. So.
This is the best. This is my favorite Carlin story. This was like 1997 spring, Aspen Comedy Festival, you know, he's there because they're honoring him 40 years of comedy and 60 years old. And this was 97. And there was a guy there who was a comedian. He didn't get selected for the festival, but he was there and he bought one of those all access passes so he could go to all the shows and meet. And he did, when I tell you what he did, it will just make you cringe. We're sitting there eating lunch with this guy and he goes, hey, I saw Carlin on the street. And I'm like, oh no. And he goes, so I went up to him. Oh, stop. He goes, hey, George, I'm working on a bit.
Oh no.
Like walking on the street, he was going to run one of his bits by him. And the way he described it is the only way you know Carlin wasn't rude to him, but he wasn't going to indulge him either. So George didn't break stride. He just kept walking. That's it. You always got to be working on your material, working on your bits, writing material. That's a good thing to do. That's the way to go. Nice to meet you. Kept walking. Isn't that fantastic?
Kind of a classy response in a weird way. Like, yeah.
Always got to be working on your bits, creating all that stuff.
That is excellent. I love the joke he used to do about, you know, the kids are so stupid nowadays, you know, and here, how do you know if you have a stupid kid? Here's what you do. You take your kid, you put him on a busy street corner. You go back 2 weeks later. If he's still there, you got yourself a stupid effing kid. All right. My number one is more of a contemporary guy, Brian Regan.
Oh, I should have put Brian on my list. He's so great. Yeah, absolutely.
And you could argue, like, who's edgy and who's not and whatever. Brian is just pure joy to watch. He's just funny. His act is funny. The way he acts it out is funny. I love him. He's great.
Brian's physicality alone is funny.
Right.
But his material is funny. Like my test is if you can transcribe a guy's act and read it off a page and it's still funny, that's funny. You can do that with him. And then he has that strong character that he sells it with. It's like, he's the total package.
Double threat. Yeah. He's great. And when people do speak up from the audience, not necessarily heckle or whatever, he's fast on his feet too. You're right. He's the whole package. It's just so great. Here are some of we only have about a minute left. My honorable mentions, Bill Hicks, Mary Mack, Conrad from Wisconsin. Love her. Albert Brooks, Gary Shandling, Dave Attell, Steve Martin, and Richard Jenny and Seinfeld.
All good.
Yeah.
All good acts.
And of course, Mike Toomey. You would have been in my top five if it were not for that stipulation. Yeah. Mike, this was so much fun. Thank you for having me on Laugh Tracks. Folks, check out Laugh Tracks, WGN Plus. If you're listening in the Chicago area, you probably already know this, but Mike is on the WGN Morning Show and does a great job there. Hey, real quick, Mike, are you doing your Christmas show this year?
I have one of them booked at Zanies in Rosemont on December 13th.
Okay.
That's a Saturday.
but not so, in Kenosha?
No, we stopped doing our Wisconsin shows, at least for this year. So okay. We'll see. You know, never say never. Might pick that back up again.
All right.
But December 13th, go to zanies.com and click on the Rosemont tab.
Outstanding. Always fun, buddy. Thanks again for asking me to be on your show.
Thank you. Of course. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks for coming on. It's good talking comedy with one of the best, Mike Toomey, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, Mike. Bet.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Tomorrow night, I didn't even read tomorrow night's guest. Ben Reiser from UW Cinematheque and the host of the Lifers podcast will be here. We'll talk movies with Ben. He's always fun. And one of the comedy sports directors and big shots, Mike Kalth, will be here. That'll be fun as well. Go Brewers. Good luck, everybody. And thank you for all your texts. Thank you to Jamie McShane. Check out Task on HBO. He's great in it. And thank you to Mike Toomey. And on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. East Coast, West Coast, and points in between have been slammed with severe weather from a nor'easter to a confirmed microburst that ripped off roofs and knocked over semi-trucks in Tempe, Arizona.
We're lucky. There's a lot of plate glass here that was just flying around. When I was trying to close the door, I saw a huge piece of sheet metal just flying in the air, like maybe 2 feet wide.
President Trump is back at the White House after yesterday's hostage prisoner swap between Israel and Hamas. What's next for the peace plan? CBS's Nancy Cordes.
One of the biggest questions of all is who will pay to rebuild war-torn Gaza? Regional experts estimate it will cost $53 billion.
Speaking of money, the president told reporters on Air Force One on the return from Israel.
Now with tariffs, I think we're the richest country in the world, actually, the United States. We're taking in hundreds of billions of dollars.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.